In a verse that all of us know quite well, I'd be surprised if most of us don't even have this one memorized. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And of course, a lot of what we teach here is all about rightly dividing. Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But how often do we just stop right there and we kind of miss the very next verse? And if we're going to take things in context, you know, we better read whole passages, right? Well, verse 16, but, as in contrary to what I just said, he just said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Keep your hand here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just if you would, flip over probably just a page, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch how Paul concludes the first book that he writes to Timothy. Chapter 6 is the last chapter in 1 Timothy, and let's look at the last verse almost, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And he concludes the book right there. The exact same phrase, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Okay, now back in 2 Timothy 2:16, he says they will increase unto more ungodliness. So not only are they increasing, okay, vain and profane babblings, but what are they increasing unto? Ungodliness. Wow, let's really, really put that in context today. Okay? While we're here in 2 Timothy, let's just look at a couple of other passages. Right here, we're going to see this same message, if you will, this same subject in several other chapters. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. And he goes on and describes all these things about them. Verse 4, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He's pretty clear about that. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And again, we talked a little bit about that earlier today. Again, this same subject of what is it that people are, you know, everybody seems to want to hear these days. Let's read on. Come to chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee, of course, thee would be Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Your King James Bible. Preach the word. Romans to Philemon for today. Watch what he says in verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Wow. Isn't that strong? People don't want to hear sound doctrine anymore. They want to hear the fables. They want to, you know, they've got itching ears. Please my ears, would you? Tell me something I want to hear. Don't tell me the truth. I think that's why, well, okay, tell me what I want to hear, you know, and why are the mega churches, you know, that put 10, 15, 20,000 people in a church? I mean, think about that. I lived in Houston for 4 years, and they actually, a church bought where the Houston Rockets used to play when the Houston Rockets built a new stadium, okay? So they took that basketball stadium, holds like 18,000 people. And they fill it up. twice a day on Sundays. Think about how many tens of thousands of people go. Oh, by the way, they all pay $10 to park to go to that church. Just to park. Who says big church isn't a big business? And what do they preach? You know, praise God to have the chance to preach the gospel. You know, it was great. Last week, I got to preach it down at Mobile at Christian Businessmen's Club. They meet once a month. About 150 men got to preach the gospel to them. Praise God for opportunities like that. Can you think of that guy in Houston with tens of thousands? I don't even think he knows the gospel of Christ. He preaches the things that people want to hear. We call it PMA, positive mental attitude. You know, let me teach you how to feel good. I want you feeling good about yourself when you walk out of here. Why? You'll come back and pay $10 to park here again next week that goes in the church coffers. All right, I'm being a little tough on the guy. Here's why I'm being tough. Because I watched Larry King interview him. And Larry King pushed him two or three times. What does it take to get to heaven? Hello, here's an opportunity on CNN to tell the whole world what it takes to get to heaven. The gospel of Christ, right? How the Christ... Now, this is not what he said, but this is what you should say if you ever had that opportunity. Praise God, Larry, it's very simple. All you have to do is believe. Believe what, you might ask? Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. And when he did, he died for our sins. And then he was buried, and he rose again the third day for our justification. It's just believing that and that alone, Larry. Not of works, lest, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, should think he's got something to do with it. That's all he had to say. You know what he said? There's lots of different ways that people might want to consider getting there. What an abomination. And so, yeah, I'm sorry, I get off a little bit sometimes on having been in Houston, and the guy has had so many opportunities like that. And he just waters it down because he wants them buying his book and buying his wife's book. Because there's a lot of money in PMA, positive mental attitude. There's a lot of money in talking, you know, to the people that have itching ears and telling them what they want to hear and helping them feel good about themselves. Yeah, everybody should feel good about themselves. Absolutely. But either you're saved or you're not. That's what matters in eternity. There is nothing else that matters. Nothing else matters. So anyway, that was another passage right there. This morning we were talking about Acts chapter 17. Okay, we're going to come back to this. Flip back. So keep, again, your hand in 2 Timothy. We'll be using that as our primary place today. Go back to Acts chapter 17. I just want to grab one passage from this morning. And so this is when Paul goes to Athens in Acts. And I'm going to jump into the middle. So Acts chapter 17 and verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, notice that term, new doctrine, wherefore thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Now watch the very next verse. It's put in parentheses. You think maybe that's really trying to make it stand out? I mean, this King James Bible, it's amazing the things the Lord does to make things so clear to you. Well, I don't like the these and nows. You want to know why they're there? Because the is singular, ye and you is plural. You always know, is he talking to that one individual or is he talking to you as the group? That's why the King James Bible says thee and thou, or ye and yours, or you. So he makes it clear for you. Anyway, the parentheses. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. People get so into, what's the newest, greatest thing out there? What's new? Okay, we're not coming back to there. Go to Titus chapter 3. And I was sharing, by the way, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time Zone, Brother Jerry Lockhart does a men's study. And Brother Wayne and Mary have made their home open. Anybody that would like to come over and just kind of watch that study together. I mean, you can watch it from your own house on the internet. But Carlton came over yesterday, and Larry and Brother Wade and Wayne and myself. And so we watched it together. Did I tell you to go to Titus? Okay. And this is something that Brother Jerry shared yesterday. And if you were here first hour, you're going to hear this again. This made such an impact on me when Brother Jerry shared this. And it goes right along with what we've been talking about. Okay, verse 8. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that they affirm, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Yeah, and people always say, oh, you grace believers, you just think you can do whatever you want. Sin away. Well, first of all, you're going to anyway. We all do. Anybody that thinks they don't sin. You know, but Romans chapter 6, shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. There's nobody that talks more against sin than the Apostle Paul. No, nowhere does grace give you the right to sin. It's just being real clear that your salvation has nothing to do with works. It is by grace alone. It is by faith without works. Everywhere else in time, it's faith plus works. Yes, everywhere else you can lose your salvation. Only during the grace dispensation that we live in today are people secured eternally. As in, keep your hand here in Titus chapter 3. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, this is a great verse to memorize. In Ephesians, in chapter 1, and then we're going to look at verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed the gospel, accepted the gospel for your salvation, you're sealed. And sealed means sealed. If you come over to chapter 4, Ephesians there, chapter 4, in verse 30. And he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. And how long are you sealed? It says, unto the day of redemption. Okay, you are sealed. You cannot lose it. If you're saved by grace, you're kept by grace. Praise God. If you were saved by works, and you have to be kept by works. And in the dispensations before the dispensation of the grace of God, and in the dispensations after, yes, you can lose your salvation. People say, wait a minute, I thought you're eternally secure. Yes, we are. Well, wait a minute, that guy in Hebrews, it sure looks like he can lose his salvation. Yes, he can. That's not our doctrine. The book of Hebrews is for another dispensation. Our Ephesians, or 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What do you mean by that, rightly dividing? Let's back up to that. Okay? So we know way back here, we'll just call this Genesis. Okay? We have a thing called the Old Testament. And Genesis through Malachi is the Old Testament in your Bible. And then all of a sudden, we have the New Testament, and it starts with some books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it describes this 30-year period of the life of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ. And I would suggest to you a couple of things about that. really, it talk, you know, while it talks about his birth, it usually jumps ahead about 28 years. You'll hear a lot about when he's, you know, his birth and up to the time he's about 2 years old. And the next thing you know, he's 30. So I'm just going to put another X there. That's when he's 30. So it's this three-year time period, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And I would also subscribe to you that the majority of that teaching is not to the multitude of Jews. It's to 12 men and 12 men only, preparing them for their ministry. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all about. Okay, so then we have the crucifixion. Let's just even call it the death, burial, and resurrection. Christ is crucified. He's buried. The third day he's raised again. We have the book of Acts. And I'm going to stop the book of Acts there. So again, chronologically, from a historical standpoint, this is just time going on. Okay, especially when you start here with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describing this time period. Acts picks right up with this. You know, 40 days after this, you know, talks about the 40 days the Lord Jesus Christ is here on earth with the 12. And then his ascension into heaven on the 40th day after the crucifixion. Okay? In the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. And he starts what is called the body of Christ. The church, which is the body of Christ. The church, which is his body. Okay? At the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, okay, we have what's known as the dispensation of the grace of God. It's called a mystery within your Bible. Okay? That ends with the rapture of the church. And we know that there's a 7-year period of great tribulation. And then we have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the 1,000-year reign. Okay, so that's time. That's how things will unfold. How long is this time period? We don't know. We're not told in the Bible. We know very distinctly this is a 7-year period. We know very distinctly this is a 1,000-year period. Okay, we know that right before the book of Acts that, you know, this was a 30-year period from the birth of Christ to the crucifixion. Okay, we can count time here. We know that this is 40 years from the crucifixion to the end of the book of Acts. Okay, but in the dispensation of grace, dispensation of the grace of God, we don't know how long it is. Okay, but we know that that's where we are. The books of Romans through Philemon are the books that contain the doctrine for Gentiles, like everybody in here. Anybody that's walking this earth today needs to get their doctrine out of Romans through Philemon. Just so happens the book after Philemon is Hebrews. Hebrews, through Revelation, described that as the doctrine for that 7-year period. Just amazing the way the Bible just happens to fall that way. Coincidence? I don't think so. Okay, so that's how your Bible is laid out. That's why if you go somewhere else, and again, like we said this morning, never, ever, ever get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. It's a book of transition. It's a book of transition from the Jews that Peter and the 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to, okay, that the 12 would talk to, preach to, the Jewish church, okay, where they would preach the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, the gospel of the circumcision. The book of Acts is the falling away of Israel. At Acts 28 is when they become Lo am I. They're done. Not my people, God calls them. Okay? The Jews are not my
Temporarily,
they will become his people again out there. Exactly. Thank you. Temporarily. Okay? But during today, in 2011, you can't go here for doctrine. You've got to go to Romans to Philemon. Because also, starting right here in Acts chapter 9, a new church started. And it gradually, until the end of 28, increased. And this is called the church, which is his body. And in Galatians chapter 2, describes the same time as Acts chapter 15, is when Peter and Paul actually meet together. And they talk about the differences of these two. Don't ever just listen to somebody. See the Scripture. What do you believe and why? You need to know the Scripture to go to it and see it in the Scripture. Okay, go to Galatians chapter 2, just the book before Ephesians. In Galatians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the... Now watch the of's and the to's here. That the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, me is Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. We have two gospels there. You see, we have the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and that would be this church. Believe this gospel and go into this church, which has fallen away, and the gospel of the uncircumcision, which is unbelieving Gentiles, like all of us, was committed unto Paul. I hope everyone can see those, but anyway, two gospels. The gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter as the... I'm saying it backwards. Let me start over and say that. The gospel of the uncircumcision, unbelieving Gentiles like each of us. We didn't go to a synagogue to align ourselves with Israel. We're not blessing Israel to try to gain God's favor. Okay? We are just good for nothing, not worth the gunpowder take to blow us into hell, Gentiles. Dogs, as the Bible, as the Lord Jesus Christ on earth called us. Dogs. Okay, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, the Bible says, me being Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Okay? Peter has a very distinct ministry. Paul has a super distinct ministry. Okay? To two different groups. Circumcision, Jews. Uncircumcision, Gentiles. You know, you can't miss it. And again, what we're talking about here, starting from the beginning, the subject is sound doctrine. And people will fall away, will turn away from sound doctrine. Okay? Why do we rightly divide? Because there are different ways to be saved by these two gospels, and there's different inheritances in the future, depending on which church you're in. Okay? Again, just to review real quick, there's actually three inheritances out there in the future. Okay, at the end of the thousand... Okay? Remember, all this time, Genesis through Malachi, what were Moses and all the Jews, you know, what were they all looking for and throughout time back here in the Old Testament? Right? They were looking for that kingdom to be set up. The land. An earthly inheritance. Well, guess what? Out here, they have an earthly inheritance. These people do get resurrected. These people that died in God, if you will, not died in Christ, because these were prior to them. But if they followed the law and did those things that God said to do to be redeemed, then they're resurrected out here into the earthly kingdom during a thousand-year reign. The people that Peter and the 12 preached to, what did they preach? The gospel of the kingdom, right? A heavenly city, New Jerusalem. At the same time, there's going to be this heavenly city, New Jerusalem. The people that go there, anybody that believed the gospel of the circumcision that Peter preached after the crucifixion, okay? Those people, as well as anybody out here in this seven-year period that believes the gospel of the kingdom and is killed prior to the second coming of Christ or dies. Okay, because they have to be dead to be resurrected into, that's where they're born again. Right there. That's their spiritual rebirth. Rebirth. Okay, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? That's when they're born again into that heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Now, we haven't talked about the body of Christ. Okay, and the body of Christ would be from here to here. The body of Christ, we become the literal body of Christ to be with the Lord forever, wherever He is. Okay? That's our inheritance, far above all heavens. Far above all heavens. How far above heavens is the land? Well, it's not too far above heavens, is it? How far above heavens is the heavenly city, New Jerusalem? Well, it's not too far above heavens. The people on earth will see it, won't they? Okay, so those are two inheritances. The third inheritance, which the body of Christ has, is to be with the Lord forever, far above all heavens. Praise God for that. Okay, so that's why we rightly divide. So how do you get saved today? There's only one way. You don't have a choice to go into here if you want. You don't have a choice to go into here if you want. You only have a choice to go into the body of Christ. And it is very simple, by believing. Go to 1 Corinthians. You know, the key is believing what? Keep your hand, so go to 1 Corinthians 15. Keep your hand there when you get there. But before we read that, I want to read in Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, by the way, Romans, the first book that shows up in your Bible after the book of Acts, the first book that shows up in your Bible written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. The very first one. And look what he says in the very first book of the very first, or the very first chapter of the very first book that shows up. In verse 15, Paul says, so this is Romans 1:15, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. All we need to do is believe this, all right? While we're in Romans, look at Romans 10, 9, and 10. Very good verses when you're talking with somebody about salvation. How does someone get saved today? Romans 10, 9, and 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, here's that believe again, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, it's that easy. What is that gospel of Christ? Remember Romans 1:16, he called it the power of God unto salvation. Here it is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Flip over to Ephesians, right after Galatians there, Ephesians chapter 2. One more passage here on salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's it. Where did you see yourself having to do anything? It's believe, believe, believe. But it's believe what? Okay, because if you believe the wrong thing, you're not going to be saved into this body of Christ. And then spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, what's the option? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oops. I probably want 2 Thessalonians, don't I? 2 Thessalonians. Heard a little murmuring there that kind of clued me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. First of all, let's talk about the good part of this. Actually, first, keep your hand there in 2 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if we start in verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Stop for a second. That asleep would be dead in Christ, okay? The people that have died, your relatives that have died, that have a testimony of salvation. Okay. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." He's going to bring them with him. Okay? "For this we say unto you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain on this earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Do you see what he's talking about right there? Okay, we're out here in 2011. Okay? And some, you know, if this were to be 2011 and this rapture were to happen tomorrow, okay, the first thing that happens as the Lord comes down, okay, during the rapture, to the air, to the clouds in the air, the first thing that happens, as it said there, the dead in Christ shall rise when? First. So the dead in Christ, anybody that's dead right now, that believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again for their justification, and they're putting their trust in that and that alone for their salvation, well, they're raised from the dead to meet the Lord in the air. And we that are alive and remain go up at the same time then and meet them in the clouds, in the air, as it said right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Is there not a lot of comfort in those words? You know where you're going to be for eternity. Praise God for that. Why do we rightly divide the word of truth? So we get the gospel of our salvation. Because only does the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon, that's the only place we see the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation for today. That's why we have to rightly divide. That's why we spend all that time. Okay? So we get the right gospel, because there's wrong gospels for you today, for us today. Okay? So, at the rapture, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which alive and remain shall meet them in the air to be with the Lord forever. Doesn't matter, this 7 year of great tribulation happens, we're out of here. Praise God. We're with the Lord forever. So now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What if you don't? What if you reject what you're hearing? Okay, we know what's going to happen here. Oh, by the way, the 7 year tribulation starts. The mark, you know, the Antichrist takes over, right? This is the time of Jacob's wrath. Jacob's trouble. This is the wrath of God being dispensed on this earth. It's going to be a bad place. That's not the only bad place the Bible talks about. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's start in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, only he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of" who? Satan. who's after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The Antichrist is going to have serious powers. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Here it is. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, okay? For this cause, receiving not the love of the truth, they rejected it. They heard the gospel of salvation, but did not accept it. They rejected it. And verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And watch verse 12, that they all might be, what's that word? Damned. That's a pretty strong word. Yep, mine says that too. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. You see, if you miss the rapture, this is what I don't like about those Tim LaHaye books. Great, real popular series, right? The Left Behind series. So the rapture happens in those books, and then he's got all these people getting saved. You can't get saved. If you're on earth here, you can't get saved out here, as you just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You won't get saved. God himself is going to send you a delusion, it said. Okay? Don't miss that. Verse 11 and 12. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You reject what my son, this is God the Father now, you reject what my son did for you, I sent you my son back here. Not only did I send him to you, he sent him to his own received him not, rejected him, they hung him on a cross. Praise God they hung him on a cross. When they hung him on a cross, what did he do? He shed his blood. His blood spilled out. Why? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He paid the penalty for you and I. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We deserve to hang on that cross. But he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He let him hang on that cross. He shed his blood. The third day he raised him again for our justification. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this cause because, verse 10, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay, if they rejected that, what he did back there, then verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, the lie that the Antichrist tells. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Don't miss that, gang. That's pretty serious. All right? That's as serious as it gets. Now, what if somebody were to die even before this happens? And we're talking about the rapture time period. What if today, on the way home, somebody were to die, if you will? Luke chapter 16. What if you were to go to sleep tonight and just not wake up tomorrow? You know, we're all approaching here very closely September 30th. September 30th will be 1 year ago, the morning that Brother Barry went to, Wednesday night, preached right here. This is the pastor before me. Preached from this pulpit right here. He, by the way, he's a week younger than I am. Preached at this pulpit Wednesday night, went to sleep. Didn't wake up the next morning. But praise God, he's got one heck of a testimony. And we'll all be together when we meet the Lord in the air at some point in the future. His next waking moment, his wife's going to be right there with him. And all of us in here that are saved will be right there with him too. His next waking moment. I don't know if he'll ever know that he actually left, you know, was gone for a while from all of us or not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It doesn't matter for that matter. He's the lucky one. He's out of here first, right? His wife is the one that has to deal with the, you know, we're in the flesh, we're human. Anyway, deal with the grief of losing a loved one. Okay, but what if we were to go to sleep? What if we were to go to sleep tonight being lost, having rejected the love of the truth? Where would we go? We don't go to sleep in the Lord. Again, Barry's just sleeping right now. You know, when we go to sleep, we go to sleep, right? We don't really know what's going on around us. It's not bad. It's pretty nice when we're sleeping. Here's the people that are lost. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, okay, you see the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now watch the next verse. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus was asleep in the Lord. Lazarus, of course, this is a different dispensation. Okay? So he's looking for this earthly kingdom is where Lazarus is going to go when he's resurrected. He's not in the body of Christ. But hell was immediate for that rich man that died. He immediately went to hell. And watch, so verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. He was immediately in torment. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus they might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That rich man is in hell. He's tormented right now when this is written. Keep your hand here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 6. Brother Obed Kirkpatrick gave a great talk about hell at the conference last week. That's not where I want to go. Well, so I'm going to miss it for right now. But in hell, where the worm dieth not, and the flame and the fire never quencheth. And it says that three times in a row. It says it, and then it says two verses. Then it says it again. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire never quencheth. Two more verses. Pardon me. Two more verses. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire quencheth not. A place of torment. That's where people go now if they die having rejected the love of the truth, having rejected the gospel of Christ. You know, why do we rightly divide according to 2 Timothy 2:15? To make sure we're following this gospel of the uncircumcision. Okay, the gospel of Christ. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And it's our belief in that and that alone. As Ephesians 2:8-9 told us, not of works. You see, these people have to work back here. These people in the book of Acts that Peter was preaching to had to work for their salvation. They could lose it. Okay? The people out here in Hebrews through Revelation, they've got to work for their salvation. They cannot take the mark of the beast. They lose it. They've got to work. We don't in the dispensation of the grace of God. Works have nothing to do. Why? Not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. If there's something you could do for your salvation, then you could say, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I was able to do this, this, and that. No man should boast. No man should boast. It's that easy. Simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith in the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, He died for not just our sins, but He died for my sins. You need to see yourself. He died for my sins. And He was buried and rose again the third day for my justification. And either that's good enough, or I'm just going to die and go to hell anyway because I can't be good enough. Romans chapter 3 tells us there's none good, no, not one. Okay? There's nothing we can do to be good enough to earn our way into heaven. All right? That's why we rightly divide. Be careful of people that, going as we wrap up here, going back to the people having itching ears, and they want to go where the good music is so they feel good, and half the service is nothing but the band playing up here, and you know, let's all feel good, and let's go back and forth, and you know, and then let's go somewhere where all they preach is, you know, the positive mental attitudes. Okay, you gotta know what you believe and why. You chapter and verse. Mark 9, not 6. Thank you. Okay, it's what you believe and why. Chapter and verse. You need to know in this Bible what you believe, not because some man stood up here and taught you something. Be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. Anything I preach to you here today, don't take my word for it. Okay, search the Scriptures and make sure it says all these things. Okay, the Lord gave each of us this King James Bible. We can each go search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. That's what we're all commanded to do in that very first verse that we read, 2 Timothy 2:15. He tells each of us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Give me just two more minutes, because I kind of missed a main point here. The part about vain babblings, shun profane babblings, okay? It's easy for people to say, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? And people will come to you. I get emails from people all the time, and keep them coming, you know, especially you on the internet, you send them. You know, the rapture, and, you know, what about, you know, and they send me a 50-page, or, you know, I got a 32-page thing the other day about a mid-trib rapture, and no, where the church is going through the rapture, and it's not the, you know, it's easy to start getting into vain babblings. And I say vain because we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. I love that. Heard it last week. We need to keep the main thing, the main thing. What matters first, before we even start talking about when's the rapture, and is it mid-trib, are we going through the trib, tongues, are they for us, are they not for us, healings, are they for us, not, water baptism, for us, not, Lord's Supper. None of that matters if you're not saved. Keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our justification. And either we're saved or we're not. Either we believe that for our salvation, or we haven't. I say haven't, because there's got to be a time, a specific time in your life, where you can go back to right now and say, you know, I remember on such and such a day, whether you remember the date or not doesn't matter, but you remember the circumstances. I remember that time when all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell, because I don't have a day of salvation. When was that time when you realized you'd never trusted in that and that alone for your salvation? And that day, you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you based on what you had just believed. Who did He come to say? You know, what did it say about saving them that believe? Okay, this is the main thing. So whenever somebody comes with all those other things, go right to here. Either they're saved or they're not. Because eternity is either, like 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Whether we die first and then are resurrected at the rapture, or whether we're here, one of those that alive and remain, and meet those that were asleep in Christ in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Either we're going to do that, or we're going straight to hell when we die. Those are our two options. And like we saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you receive not the love of the truth, then God Himself shall send you a delusion that you'll believe a lie, a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie, because you rejected what His Son did for you right here. All you got to do is believe. Barry Hampton wrote just a great song that we used to sing here all the time even. All you've got to do is believe. And that's it. So if you search your past, If you don't know when that moment of salvation was for you, then I beseech you, brethren. Yeah, why not make it today? I beseech you to get that worked out. Okay? Because either you're lost or you're saved. And that's the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All right, I thank you for being here today.